Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Podcast live from lockdown. It's Monday the 2nd of August. Marto and Margo, anything that didn't come up in the show you want to cover off here?
I just received a text message from my husband who said he will not be logging in to online learning this morning because the children need a mental health day. I think he's hungover and I think he's granted himself a mental health day.
Fair enough, Corey.
He worked very hard.
I said, make sure you send the links through to get the kids onto their links. The two little ones have to get on at 9 and the two big ones 8:30. He said, we're having a mental health day.
What movie will he be watching today?
He got one of 2 days to do online learning.
More burnouts?
He had one job. If he's down working on that bus of his that he's doing up, there'll be real trouble.
And if Wiley might get back into the Hyundai, which will make sense if you keep listening to this.
It's a rally car driving
podcast
around the backyard this morning.
Enjoy.
Terribly sad news for lots of people over the weekend in regards to the lockdown. But it was nothing but great news in the Parker household because Saturday morning we had to be out at Forest Lake at 7 o'clock, Marto, for soccer. Both boys play soccer, but they also play rugby league on a Sunday morning. So it meant no rugby league on Sunday morning. And when we got the news Saturday, I was like, yes, I don't have to get up tomorrow morning early.
Oh, yeah.
So it was nothing but great news in our house. Corey and I, Corey flew back in from Rockhampton Sunday.
What, he got there for the league?
He went up there for the league on Saturday. Jesus. It got cancelled. Yeah. He couldn't get a flight back out of Rockhampton. So he flew home yesterday and sat in line for a couple of hours for a COVID test. So when he got home, it was time, you know, for a bit of a drink. We hopped in the pool with the kids and we spent all day Sunday in the pool.
Oh, the days were beautiful.
Having the best day ever. And we had a couple of drinks when Wiley approached us and said, hey, Dad, do you reckon I could take the car for a drive? We've got this beat up old little Hyundai Elantra that Corey got for $500.
I saw it down the back there. Greeny colour thing.
It's like a light green Hyundai Elantra. I think it's like a early 90s model Elantra.
It's already got a ding in it.
Yeah, the kids took the bonnet off it and used the bonnet as a bit of a skid pan lid.
Is that where the bonnet came from?
They drag it behind the quad bike and give people rides.
Can you
very
tell
safely,
everyone,
of course, how old's wearing
Wiley?
Helmets.
For anyone who just tuned in, how old's your son, Wiley?
Wiley is 10. And he said, we said, oh, look, mate, it's probably not a good idea. Your dad and I have had a couple of drinks. And he said, well, I've only had a couple up and goes. I reckon I'll be all right. It stood there drinking his vanilla up and go.
I better only have half of this second one.
So Memphis volunteered to go with him and off they went.
Hold on. Tell everyone where you mean they're driving to.
Just in the backyard.
Yes, that's right.
Just, we've got 2 acres down there at Cornubia they just take it for a little bit of a paddock bash
it
around.
It sounded like they were driving down the road to their mate's place.
No, they're not going anywhere other than our private property.
Lockdown.
But they do laps around the goalposts and around the tree. And Wiley had suggested that maybe he could do some burnouts and learn to go around the trees.
Do you want to hear
it? This is what it sounded like.
A 10-year-old doing burnouts.
That is actual.
That is, actuality nothing says yesterday. Logan more than a 10-year-old doing burnouts. That's so good. Get them starting. Oh, that's a little bit late. Normally they don't wait until double digits in Logan.
But they say, you know, he's like, I'll need to get my 100 hours up, Mum. And I said, and I'm pretty sure you'll have plenty of time to do that. You've got about 6 or 7 years. But 133353, I remember where I was when I first learned to drive a car. It was my family's property up in Mullaney in a Land Cruiser ute. We used to go out and feed the horses. Yeah. And my aunt said, you want to have a go? And I said, yeah, I do. I think I was about 12.
Oh, God.
And I learned to drive a manual Land Cruiser ute in the paddocks of Mullaney. It was incredible. I thought it was the best thing ever. It was so much responsibility.
You just told me during the news what else happened. What
I
else
also
were you
learned
doing?
To light a cigarette.
Light your auntie's cigarette.
She's like, while she'd be driving and throwing feed out the window, she'd just light us a cigarette, darling.
Oh, Christ. On what?
Oh, 1-3-5-3.
I learnt mine on a farm, my grandfather's orchard up in Stanthorpe, knocked a peach tree over. This thing was 30 years old or so, probably worth thousands of dollars with the tractor because you're using an old Massey Ferguson, again, gears. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know exactly what was going on. They just thought you could drive when you were 10.
Yeah.
Well, so 10's about the age, isn't it?
And Wiley thought it was incredible because he said, oh, Dad, can that be my first car? And Corey's
that
like,
thing.
Yeah, he's like, by the time you get a car, you know, we might get something a little safer, mate. He goes, I reckon I could do it up, you know, like I could pimp it out. So there he was down in the backyard with the spray can, spraying it all different colours. Can I spray the wheels, Dad? Corey's like, yeah, go for it, son. 133353. How old were you when you first learned to drive a car?
And where did you learn to drive it?
0484 101045, Texas on the burner phone. Corey from Thornlands, how old were you when you learned to drive? Where were you?
I was roughly about 6 years of age, and my old man was a bread vendor.
Yeah, did you drive the truck?
I used to drive the truck at six. I got to sit on his lap and steer the steering wheel, and then progressed into allowed to do the gears, and I could do the clutch. At the age 12, I was driving the truck from Wynnum Central down to Wellington Point.
can I check? Were you doing
deliveries?
You were doing deliveries at the age of 12.
Yeah. That's on school holidays.
Magnificent, Corey. It makes you a better driver, doesn't it, Corey?
Oh, I absolutely reckon it does.
Yeah.
What age do you reckon you had the 100 hours up, Cod?
What was that? Sorry?
Well, you know how they all got to do 100 hours now. What age do you reckon you would have had your 100 hours already clocked up?
Oh, would have been in 1 year I would have done that.
Yeah. About 13 to 14. 13. That's wonderful. Hey, my old man, who grew up in Stanthorpe, okay, went in to get his license and the cop was at the pub because that's where you used to go and see them. Listen, I'm ready to get my license. He said, I've seen you driving for 4 years. And then the cop went, oh, yeah, whatever. Come and see me tomorrow. I'll have it written out.
Lee from Browns Plains, 133353. How old were you when you first learnt to drive?
I was about 8, and my grandfather owned 5 acres across the railway from the Kingston Butter Factory there.
God, yeah. Right, eh? Plenty of room.
And plenty of room, and both my uncles had Leyland tip trucks, and one of them grabbed me by the collar, thrown me into the driver's seat and gone, son, if you can drive this, you can bloody drive anything. So I learnt to drive on a Road Ranger gearbox, split diff, Leyland tip truck. And then my grandfather went out and bought a few Austin 1100 land crabs. And that was what my cousins and I used to race around the impromptu track that we made on the property and just, turn it into a demolition derby.
Just turning men, boys into men, Lee. Do you reckon that's part of the problem these days? We see so many P-platers in accidents and causing accidents. Do you reckon we need a little bit more
of this? They haven't been in a demolition derby.
They haven't.
Look, I think, the thing is we were doing it on dirt. We were learning how to control a car. Mm.
Lee, what are you doing now?
I'm a mechanic, mate. So,
meant to be.
That's all part of it. But, I think that there's not those places to go anymore like when we were kids. There's not, there's 300 square metre blocks now, not decent size ones. And, unless your husband happened to be an ex-footballer. But, buying somewhere with land close to town is bloody nigh on impossible.
We all used to have country cousins as well, which you'd just head out to them during the holidays and they'd let you do whatever you wanted to. Listen to Brendan. We might have a new leader on the leaderboard. I first started driving as a 5-year-old on a property in Moree. There was 35,000 acres, so heaps of room.
Heaps of room. Bill from Wynnum, 133353. How old were you when you started driving?
Yeah, I was 7.
Where?
I was up North Queensland on a cane farm.
What were you driving at 7, Bill?
Tractors and a Blitz truck.
Oh, the old Blitz. How good were they from the World War II times?
That's it. Hauling the old wood cane bins.
But were they short on workers or did they just think it was funny to throw a 7-year-old in the big truck?
No. The old man sort of it cut his workload down getting me to do it.
This is what happens in developing countries where you get the 7-year-old, don't worry about school, drive the truck, son.
Well, if they bring rally driving into the Brisbane 2032 Olympics, you'll know who'll be there.
Your one son. Wiley Parker. Takes gold, Wiley Parker.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
A couple of great Olympic stories coming through in the last 24 hours. The high jump story is quite amazing. Brandon Stark, who I'm trying to tell Kath last night, Mitch Stark, the bowler.
The cricketer.
Married to Alicia Healy. It's his brother. And she's going, oh, no, you got me. But he's got long legs.
Yeah, he came in 5th in the high jump, Marto.
Did he come 5th?
Yeah, he just missed the 2.35-metre jump, which saw him out in 5th. But the big story that came out of the high jump was the Italian jumper and the jumper from Qatar decided to share share the gold medal after they both had no through misses at 2.37 metres. So an incredible story, he said.
And they could have jumped further. They could have had a jump off. 2.38, yep. And whoever got it would have won.
Could have had a jump off. But no, the Qatar gentleman said to the official, can we share gold?
Yep.
And he said, yep, quite possibly. Let's have a look at it. And then the Italian jumped all over him and they celebrated. And they said, it looks like they've decided to share the gold, which has not been done since 1908. I'm not sure what event it was. But it's history making. It's rare to see someone want to, you know, have selflessness and share this.
Usually bitter rivals. That's part of what the Olympics is about. They should have been bitter rivals.
But they were great friends.
Because they're high jumpers. They've got no mates. The only other mates are those other idiots making their little...
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment.
Okay, that was beautiful. I thought one of the more beautiful ones, and we spoke about it briefly this morning, was Logan Martin, the BMX freestyle, who won the gold medal because he built his own skate park, his own ramps and jumps in the backyard, as he says.
A few of my close neighbours, they weren't, you know, too keen on the idea. It's obviously paid off, and I hope they see that it pays off too.
What a great guy. Now, listen, and this little bit here, because he did things that no one else in the world is doing, and they've been cooking them up, they reckon, down there in Logan Village and at the Crestmead Skate Park where he started. His mates helped him build the ramp, but they also...
One of my mates was doing them a lot back home, and he actually taught me how to do it. So, you know, pretty much the three guys, myself, and both my other mates, we all just teaching each other tricks, and they actually taught me this trick.
Wow. Paying those two. They're unnamed at this stage. I hope somebody can tell us who they were.
So many great stories of local, there's that steeplechase girl, Genevieve Gregson. She's a JPC girl here at Daisy Hill. I know everybody at home in the area is cheering her on. So many great stories of...
Well, the BMX freestyle. Mm. Let's just talk briefly about that. First time ever in the Olympics. So he wins the first ever gold medal for freestyle. And I look at it and go... Thought it might be a bit odd, like a 27-year-old still riding a BMX. I'm able to overlook that because this is the first time in Olympic history that anyone has won a gold medal while wearing a pair of black jeans.
Black skinny jeans.
For bogans, that is just going, that's me. I'm on. The Big Breakfast, Triple M. And everyone's got so many questions about lockdown and about the vaccines, well, about everything. So we thought we'll go straight to the top. The Deputy Premier of Queensland, Dr. Stephen Miles. Good morning, mate.
G'day, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, listen, are you acting premier as Anastasia's at a yoga retreat at the Western Hotel, or are you, what do you call yourself? Because she's in Australia, but she can't run everything actively.
Yeah, I'm the deputy premier, so she's there in quarantine, well connected with phones and constant text messages. So she's doing a great job there, and I'm just having to do some of the physical things.
I haven't seen many updates on her social media. You know, where you see all those influencers and people stuck in quarantine lockdown complaining about their food. How's she going in hotel quarantine, Stephen?
Well, I don't think she's loving it. I think she's about halfway through now. So she's doing the right thing and she'll be out soon.
So we've heard overnight there has now been 19 locally acquired cases of COVID-19. We are currently in a 3-down lockdown, which is due to finish on Tuesday at 4 p.m. But there's a lot of speculation, Stephen Miles, around an extension. We could possibly be looking at 2 weeks. What can you confirm?
Well, I don't think we could say 2 weeks right now. We need to see what today's numbers and tomorrow's numbers are, and we'll have a better sense of it. But we certainly saw a big escalation very quickly over the weekend, and we can't lift the lockdown until we know everyone who might have been exposed is in home quarantine. So that's really the test, is how quickly our contact tracers can get all of those people safely away in home quarantine.
Steve, could you give us the business support package you guys were talking about, both for full-time and casual workers, just because there's a lot of small business owners and a lot of subbies listening right now.
Self-employed.
What can they get?
So the state government is announcing today a $5,000 compensation package for businesses that'll cost us a couple of $100 million. And then as part of the Commonwealth hotspot arrangements, employees who lose less than 20 hours will be eligible for $450. Those that lose more than 20 hours will be eligible for $750. Those payments are per week if the lockdown was to be extended beyond a week.
Oh, God, righto. So you'll be announcing that. Where do they apply in case they don't hear anything further?
So the form for that income support won't be available till the 7th of August, okay. So people can apply then, and we'll have more detail about the business package, the $5,000, later today.
ultimately the way out of this is to continue people going and getting COVID tests done. Where are we at with those figures? And are you happy with the amount of people that are putting their hand up to go out and get tested?
Certainly the figures we had Saturday were just not good enough. But I know from the number of people who messaged me to tell me they were getting tested that lots of people went and got tested yesterday. I don't have the total yet, but hopefully it was much, much higher than that 11,000 figure we had yesterday.
Hey, Stu, can I ask you, ECHA, will that be cancelled or where are we at?
So at this stage, I understand the RNA have cancelled some of their activities and have suspended activities on site. That all makes sense right now.
Can I interrupt? Is that because I see there's judging at a stud cattle, the big beef cattle. Is that so the bushies don't come down here, get COVID and take it back to the regions?
Yeah, and we wouldn't want to be bringing people from somewhere where there's no risk to somewhere where there is a risk. So that's the thing to be careful of, yeah.
Stephen, on the front page of the Courier-Mail each day, it tells us how many percentage of fully vaccinated and how many percentage of their first dose. I saw just on the news that New South Wales are on track to have 70% of the population vaccinated within 5 weeks.
Jesus.
How are we tracking considering we're only at 19% and we need at least 80% to come out the other side of these lockdowns and mask mandatory wearing?
Yeah, we certainly need to see a lot more people getting vaccinated. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're short on one of the vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine, and that's really hampering our ability to get those kinds of levels. But as soon as we get the vaccines, we're using them. And so hopefully, as the bigger supplies come in over the coming months, we'll be able to get to those targets. I understand the Prime Minister's talking about Christmas time, and that's probably pretty realistic.
What is the delay? We are talking to Deputy Premier of Queensland, Minister Stephen Miles. What is the delay on us obtaining more vaccines? Where is the shortage coming from?
Well, there's only so much coming into the country. So Pfizer's producing for the whole world. We're only getting a portion of that supply. And then the federal government allocates that out to the states. At the moment, we've only got enough to do second doses for people who've already had their first. But as soon as we get more in, we'll be able to book more people in for their first doses.
Steve, a lot of people saying, where's the common sense in keeping on bringing these international tourists into inner city quarantine hotels? That's our standard, but that's where the disease is getting out and getting into the general population. Where and why is there such a battle about Wellcamp Airport? I know a little bit about it. I've got mates who work up there, the Wagners are mates, friends of mine. Why can't that happen? What is slowing on stopping that? Because why are we talking about Damascus barracks down near the Brisbane airport? It's got asbestos. There'll be government holdups. Why can't we just say to the Wagners, build the bloody thing?
Okay. I don't know the answer to that.
Who's stopping it? Is it at federal level?
Yeah, so the federal government say they won't support it. They've come up with a whole bunch of reasons why.
Because they've got old conservative people up there in Toowoomba who don't want to know about it.
Well, yeah, we want a regional facility. We think that's safer getting these high-risk passengers out of our cities and into somewhere where we can control it a bit.
Yeah,
these hotels weren't built for this.
That's right. The other question a few people asking this morning, why was the NRL allowed to continue after being postponed on Saturday?
Yeah, so we cancelled those games on Saturday. They put together a new COVID-safe plan to be able to play just at one venue, just at Suncorp. That was approved by the Chief Health Officer late Saturday night.
So no crowds at Suncorp, but games will go ahead. There's a doubleheader there tonight. Stephen Miles, anything else we need to know? Can you give people who are looking down the barrel of potentially being locked down further post these 3 days, what sort of hope can you give them to hold on to?
Well, I think we've acted really quickly. You know, we had one case on, we had one case and then it went to 7 the next day and we locked down that day. And that's precisely what everyone says we should do. And that gives us the best possible chance of beating this outbreak, provided everyone goes and gets tested and listens to the health advice.
Stephen Miles, Deputy Premier of Queensland, you've answered so many of the questions. Thanks, mate.
Thanks so much for having me. The Big Breakfast,
Triple M. Oh, the Olympics for so many, it's about the swimming and maybe sailing. And we always said we're the best in the world at any water sports. That's why we're so good on the Olympic table at the moment. But then yesterday came Logan Martin, the boy from Logan Reserve. Incredible. And I know some people go, oh, he's 26 or 27. Should he still be riding a skateboard? Well, yes, BMX. Yes, he should. After what he did on that track yesterday in the freestyle, was so far ahead of anyone else in the world. We should be so proud of this kid. He learned it, as far as I know, he learned how to skateboard and BMX down at the Crestmead Skating Park. Mm. And then he tells you, like, some of those tricks. There was no one else could do any of those tricks. He just learned them off a couple of mates.
One of my mates was doing them a lot back home, and he actually taught me how to do it. So, you know, pretty much the three guys, myself, and both my other mates, we all just teaching each other tricks, and they actually taught me this trick.
And then he couldn't get to Tokyo to practice on the course, like all the jumpy thingies, Margot.
The so ramps.
He built it with those couple of mates, the ones that did the tricks. There must be two blokes, other blokes down at Logan Reserve somewhere who are probably just as good. They probably would have won the silver and bronze or something. They helped him build the skateboard park.
Martin trained on a skate park he built in his own backyard. Over $70,000, worth every cent.
It's expensive. I just tried to get a little mini half pipe ramp thing built for the boys for their scooters in the backyard, and it was like $2,000. I got quoted. I was like, stuff that.
I built one in ours years ago out of ply, et cetera, using metal, and then somebody, a kid who'd ridden in our, when we were at Newmarket, rode in it. Then they drew up one and wanted me to build it. I quoted them $28,000, and they said, oh, Jesus. He has spent $70,000.
A worthwhile investment, it seems, though.
I know it's Logan Reserve, but...
A few of my close neighbours, they weren't, you know, too keen on the idea. It's obviously paid off, and I hope they see that it pays off too.
Vexus whingers!
I wonder if they go, oh, that little kitty won a gold. The kitty over next door, he's 20... Amazing. And we heard about it. Remember we said, has anyone got any links with any Olympians? About 2 weeks ago. Remember we had that call from Tony?
Yeah, my nephew.
What sport's your nephew doing?
He's doing BMX.
Is your nephew Logan Martin, is he?
That's him.
Yeah, incredible. He is a X Games medalist. Yeah. He's actually tipped to win the gold medal at this Olympics, Tony. Is that right?
Yeah, he just got back from the World Championship, to which he won.
Incredible. If you got on Sportsbet, if you were listening to Triple M, you would have got on Sportsbet and give me 20 on Logan. His uncle's here again with us now, Tony from Wynnum. Hello.
G'day, mate. How you going?
We wanted to talk about this skate park that he built in the backyard.
First and foremost, congratulations. Yeah. Oh, you must be incredibly proud of Logan winning the gold medal.
Oh, we all are, including his parents, brother.
Where were you watching, Tone?
Oh, I was at home. Lockdown.
Of course. Sorry. Yeah, you can't go to visit other people.
Celebrating alone in your lounge room, Tony.
So is watching your nephew with your rallies not essential, is it? No. Okay.
No. Right. No.
Let's go through something that I wanted to talk about was the skate park, because he was so brilliant, mate. That one where he did the double flip and took his hands off the handle, but it defies belief. And it's because of that skate park he built and the jumps he built in his backyard. Were you involved with that, or did you know that was underway?
Oh, I knew it was underway, but I wasn't involved in it, no.
Who did welding and concreting? Guys, what was it?
I'm pretty sure that he built it under council regulation.
How big a structure are we talking, Tony?
It looked like the one at the Tokyo.
It's like a full-size backyard.
Okay.
Well, how big is his backyard, and did it fill it?
Yeah, is he on acreage?
Yeah, I think he's on small acreage.
Small acreage, like maybe an acre or something. But we're just talking about the neighbours weren't happy. Did you hear any of those stories?
Yeah, that was actually on the news at one stage a couple of years back.
Oh.
They thought it was a bit of an eyesore.
Well, when he brings
his gold... Well, don't look in my backyard anyway.
Well, if it's council approved, then what are they going to do?
Tony, when he gets home, and I suppose he's got to do 2 weeks at Howard Springs in quarantine and stuff, when he gets home and stuff, could you tell him we want to have a yarn to him?
Of course, could.
Righto, too easy. Thanks, Tone. Lovely talking to you. Congratulations to the Martin family and everyone else. Hey, can we talk about this? Because can you imagine, you know, when people are doing work in there, you know, around your place, and you go, I wonder what's going on over there. If you don't know them, you just keep watching. But if you do know them, what are you up to? Building
to
a skate park.
You think it's awesome. It's your vision,
it's your
come
project
to life. Your big shed has come to life. But
he
unfortunately,
was on his way to Tokyo.
It obstructs the view, or, you know, somebody thinks, oh, that's an ugly looking shed. Why would they pick that colour?
Who wants a skate park next door to them? You go down to the park and there's a skate park. Can we go through it? What has your neighbour got in their backyard that
could
got
just
up
be
your
a
nose?
Collection of old rusty cars. Like a bit of a junkyard?
Yeah, or did they build something enormous? What has your neighbour got in their backyard, Keithy?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Where are you?
Mate, up at Narangba, mate. I've got 40 acres and I've got four sons, and we had a speedway track down the bottom paddock and a motocross track up the back, you know, and I come home from work one day and the boys have been in the bobcat and they built themselves a 75-foot tabletop jump.
75-foot. So they pushed all the dirt together, then all compacted it and got themselves going.
That's it, mate. And they jump from one end to the other. Like they're about 30 feet in the air and incredible. Going over and landing on the downhill run, you know? Like, yeah, just I pulled up in the truck and they're whizzing past the roof of the truck, you know?
Kids outside being kids. Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
How old were they when they got in the bobcat and did this?
Oh, mate, they're about 13, 14, I think. Right.
My producer's telling you, you must have had a chat to him already. Have you also got a shooting range in the back?
Yeah, mate, yeah, I do a bit of shooting, competition shooting, so I've got me in the range.
How are the neighbours going?
Oh, the neighbours are good. We're on rural, mate, so there's no problem up there, eh?
Oh, you can do whatever you like.
Everyone's coming up to Keith from Narangba's place. What's the address, Keith? Just kidding.
Keith, thank you, mate. I don't know how that's going. Sean from Sunnybank on the burner phone. My mates thought it was funny, Margo, to put a 12-foot Broncos wooden spoon at the front of my house last year. It's now in my backyard as a reminder of the darkest time I've experienced as a Bronco fan. I often find myself outside
drinking beer and looking at it while the tears roll down my face.
Sean, you're very sad.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Olympic booze session brings cops, Marto. Police have been called to the athletes' village in Tokyo after Jesus. A Friday night drinking session in the park got out of hand.
Just 1 week. Come on. You've only got another week to go.
The rules of being in the Olympic Village with alcohol is that alcohol is allowed to be consumed in an individual's room but not in public.
Well, what you saw when just you're sitting on your cardboard bed. Just
sitting there by yourself, slowly drowning your sorrows perhaps.
Throw the empties under the cardboard
after
bed.
After a loss. But Friday night.
That's a bit sad. That's encouraging alcoholism, drinking on your own in your room. Mm. Get out there and drink with other Olympians.
Well, it said games officials have confirmed a group of athletes and delegates had been busted with the booze in an outdoor drinking session at a park within the boundary of the Olympics athlete village.
I hope this isn't any Olympians who haven't started their events. They just got over there and thought, I'm on it. A few days.
The rules are in Japan as an athlete. Once you complete your event and are finished, you have to leave within 48 hours.
Oh, you got 2 days. Any of the minors, anyone who's ever done any FIFO work will realise when your 2 weeks or your 10 days or whatever is over, they try to ship you out of the mine straight away because they know you're on it. They don't want drunk people hanging around mines together your equipment.
They haven't had a confirmation as to who the athletes were or
pinpointed
from what country as yet. Jesus. A couple of the...
were any Aussies involved?
A couple of the Georgian judo competitors snuck out of the village to see a friend. They have been decredited.
They're nasty too because they grab hold of you and they throw you around when they get on the grog.
But who would have finished up on Friday, Marto? I mean, the investigation is underway. But
if you're speculating that Aussies involved, some of our swimmers, some of our canoeists, like was Jess Fox there? Can you name names?
Have our swimmers finished up
yet? Because otherwise everyone gets a stain on them. You're just throwing a whole blanket going, you're all on
them.
Oh, no, when they get on the ground.
Maybe it was the fences, perhaps. Oh. They were an unruly bunch, those fences.
Can you imagine our swimmers doing a cappy, drinking out of the cap?
A yard glass.
The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
Morning. We look at all the cars coming up the Riverside Expressway in the Brisbane CBD.
There's not many of them.
Oh, well, no, you're right. It's not as busy as I thought it might be. Mm. Remember last year's lockdown, it was busy. But now we've really cracked down. And I tell you, somebody who can actually give us an idea, the 3-day restrictions, will they be extended? What's the story with the Delta variant? Dr. Paul Griffin, we've had him on a few times, head of infectious disease at Mater Hospital and probably our next chief health officer. How would that go, Paul?
Oh, I don't know about that. It looks like a pretty tough job.
I wish. I want someone who can explain stuff as clearly as you. Can you tell everyone why they keep telling us? Why is this Delta variant so dangerous?
The simple answer is it's more infectious. We know it's probably around twice as infectious as the Alpha strain or the UK variant, which was around 1.5 to 2 times as infectious as the original one. So what that means is we can see transmission with a lot less of an exposure or contact than we saw previously. It just means it's so hard to control.
But it isn't the only, like we've had how many different variants now of COVID? It's 4, isn't it? Is it Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta? Why are we only seeing Alpha and Delta here? Why haven't we seen Beta or Gamma?
There's a few other ones around, but what happens when these viruses have properties that make them perform a bit better than the others, they kind of take over. And that's what we've seen with Delta. It's come along. It's more easily able to be passed from person to person. So it's kind of out-competed the other strains. So this is the one that's going around across the world at the moment.
You know how our head of Dr. Jeanette Young, she said, I don't know exactly where this is at the moment. Does that mean it's out of control? This could go anywhere, a la New South Wales?
I don't think so. I think we're in a much better position than they were. Obviously, we went hard early with that lockdown, which is an important step, I think, particularly with this case. And we've had the mask mandate already. So while masks won't prevent some transmission occurring in the community, it'll certainly reduce how much we see. So I think we're in a much better position than they were at the outset. And I think our lockdown will make a huge difference. But I don't think it's going to be over anytime soon.
Dr. Griffin, is it correct to say that even though there are variants of COVID, no matter which one you get, your health will be affected the same, even though they're just more contagious? Is that the only difference?
Yeah, that's right. So it's not significantly worse in terms of the symptoms or the severity of the disease, but it's able to be passed more easily. So, you know, we'll see more cases, basically.
All right. And can I just check? I've only had one dose of AstraZeneca. My next one's next week at some stage. I've waited 11 weeks so far. Am I partially immune? What do you call it? Half a vaccination is better than none at all?
Oh, absolutely. So while we want people to have the two full doses and, you know, a few weeks after that, the protection will be at its highest. But even a week or two after one dose, you start to see some protection. So, you know, these vaccines work amazingly well. They're not perfect, but I guess nothing in medicine or life is perfect. Some people can still get infected, but they're going to get far less severely unwell than they would have otherwise, and they're much less likely to pass it on. So these vaccines work tremendously well, and to be honest, it's our solution from not having to do all this sort of stuff time and time again.
Okay, vaccination's still in their infancy, and we don't know what the future's going to hold. But have you heard the talk, or have you been part of that talk, to go, we'll need a top-up every year of a, you know, maybe next
year
I'll
pop in and get some. Well, they're saying every 6 months you're going to need a booster.
Do you need a booster shot?
Yeah, look, we all think boosters are going to be something that we're going to need moving forward. We don't yet know the interval, so whether it's going to be every 1 year or maybe 2 years. And it's likely we'll need to add additional variants to that vaccine. So it might be that every year or two you get a booster shot that might have one, two or three variants in it. And there's already some work underway that I'm involved in where we're going to combine a COVID vaccine with a flu vaccine, for example. So that'll make it an easy thing to do every year. So that's what the future looks like, but we're still getting more information around some of those points.
Paul, as it stands, fully vaccinated 19.04% of the Australian population and 40.77% have had their first dose. I know our target is 80% for herd immunity. Why the hesitancy? I mean, I know that the rollout has been relatively bungled in the sense of, you know, confusion around the vaccine, the reactions, et cetera. But the hesitancy seems to be, you know, more consistent than ever. Why with this vaccine?
Look, I think there's quite a few points. I think the perception of risk in this country, because our control was so good, just wasn't high enough. I don't think people recognise what this virus can do. And what we're seeing now, I think people thought that it was just going to go away or wasn't going to be a problem here. We've obviously had supply issues, which have factored in very significantly to our rollout. And then I think the communication as well, the discussion around that very rare side effect of AstraZeneca, I think gave people an impression that it was likely or common when it just simply isn't the case. So I think we need to look at how we communicate the risks and benefits of these vaccines so people understand that. Obviously address the supply issue and then make sure we've got enough avenues to get those vaccines out to everyone. Because if we don't get people vaccinated, then what we're doing now in this state and New South Wales and others recently is what we're going to have to do forever. And it's just simply not a solution that was designed to do that.
Yep.
Paul, GPs are reported saying that they're having to do hour-long counselling sessions when people come in for their vaccine.
Oh, God, really?
To help, you know, give them the advantages and the disadvantages. And so it's taking them longer to roll out
the
vaccines because they've got to talk them down off the ledge first. Can you assure everybody that this is safe to go out and get it and the risks mitigated in getting it outweigh the risks of having the vaccine?
In simple terms, yes. And, you know, of course, people need to seek individual advice because their circumstances may be different, and always encourage people to go through their individual risks and benefits. But, you know, the TGA simply won't approve a vaccine where those benefits don't far outweigh the risks. And while the communication around who this is ideal for has fluctuated in response to the evolving situation, it's always remained approved for people 18 years of age and older. So, you know, it is a vaccine that's very effective, and it is very safe. It has that rare side effect, and of course people should talk about that if they need to, but I think that's where we need to get some more, you know, useful information out to people to facilitate those discussions with the GPs, so they're not having to start from the beginning and go over everything each and every time.
And you've just done it. An intelligent voice of reason on Triple M for a change. Dr. Paul Griffin, thank you so much. The head of infectious disease at Mater Hospital. Good on you, mate.
Thank you. Thanks.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Well, we're on the eve of the finals in all the winter body contact sports, which means one thing, Margo.
What's that, Marto? It means that Triple M cricket was a massive smash.
Cricket is just around the corner.
It certainly is. Triple M cricket was a massive smash hit during the last Ashes series in the summer of 2017 and 18.
It was enormous.
And introduced cricket to commercial FM radio for the first time ever.
Ever. It was amazing. And we can announce right here, right now, that cricket this summer is back on Triple M.
Triple M cricket.
Here we go.
Is here.
Pull it and go. There we are.
Start.
Ten. What a catch. Swing. Oh, what a catch, David Warner.
And that's in the air.
Oh, wow.
What a take from Mitchell Starc.
It's a short ball. His quick back is hit. And David Warner will get back to back hundreds at the MCG.
Every boundary.
Oh, monstrous strike.
Have some of that.
Every wicket.
Bowled in. Inside edge. Onto the pad. And then over the middle stump.
Kick for a run. It's going to be out. It's going to be run out.
And every laugh.
How good is this day one of an Ashes series? Behind the bowler's arm, there's a bar downstairs. You know where I am if I'm not in the commentary box.
What's
you know how to find me.
Never run on a misfield.
Yeah.
That and don't eat yellow snow, where I come from, are the two main things you learn as a kid.
It's not just cricket.
You know what really becomes tiresome?
What does?
Standing ovations.
This summer.
And that is another 100 for Steve Smith. And the legend grows.
Triple M rocks cricket.
Short one is instant. And that'll do it. The Aussies.
That's right, it's back. Our coverage starts on December 8th with the first ball of the Ashes from the Gabba live.
Yeah, you'll hear all the Ashes tests, plus for the first time on FM, one day international cricket against New Zealand.
God, we're a one-stop shop for cricket. All games will be available to every Australian wherever you live on live stream or via the Listener app, of course.
Can't wait for that. It's the Big Breakfast Triple M. We've got the Deputy Premier, Stephen Miles, to explain the lockdown.
The robot.
You mean the actor? Acting Premier.
Acting Premier, that's it. Vance Joy.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
Triple M.